All right, so today we are actually going through with the electrophoresis. We didn't do that last time. And electrophoresis is a basic technique that accomplishes what? What kind of technique is it? Technique for what? Well, no, that's just a specific application of it. I mean, in general, electrophoresis is a technique for doing what?
Reading the DNA.
Doesn't necessarily have anything to do with DNA. More basic. It's a separation technique. There are separation techniques, other ones besides electrophoresis. For instance, centrifugation is a separation technique. So is distillation, right? It's how we make booze. We separate the alcohol from the rest of the stuff. So each different separation technique is based on different reasons why the things separate. Electrophoresis is separation based on what qualities of the particles that are being separated. The size or the mass, which go hand in hand. What else? The shape matters. And finally, what's the third thing that matters with electrophoresis? We said size. Size and shape, and what else? Well, that's going to differ depending on the particle, but what three things affect how well it travels through the gel? Charge, right. Charge is important because if you have a mixture of particles and none of them is charged, they're all totally neutral, then nothing's going to move. When you apply a voltage, which is what we do in electrophoresis, you know, we apply an electrical voltage across the length of the gel, if all the particles are neutral, they're not going to move toward either pole. They're not going to have a tendency to move at all. So electrophoresis separates particles based on their charge, their shape, and their size. Now, as far as the charge is concerned, once you apply the voltage, once you turn on the power supply, in other words, a charged particle is going to move toward the electrode that is charged oppositely compared to the particle, right? And that's why I was saying before, if you have a mixture of positive and negative particles that you want to separate, you want to have your comb, your wells in the middle, because the positive particles are going to go toward the negative electrode, the negative particles are going to go toward the positive electrode. All right? The shape matters because if you imagine that you have all your particles are the same charge and they're all the same mass or size, they're going to electrophorese or travel through the gel at different speeds if they are shaped differently. If you imagine yourself in a swimming pool, you know how it's difficult to walk through water? Well, it's more difficult if you spread your body out, right? Rather than make yourself compact. You haven't changed your mass, you just have changed your shape. So shape matters as well. DNA is just one of several things that can be separated by electrophoresis. As long as you have charged particles, you can use electrophoresis. But when we know that our sample contains DNA and we just don't know what the DNA is, then we're always going to be using a gel with wells on one end. And that's because it doesn't matter where the DNA came from, not only just what human it comes from, DNA from any organism on Earth is going to always be negatively charged. Anyone know why that's true? Well, what is DNA? What's it stand for? Deoxyribonucleic acid, right. So it is an example of a nucleic acid. Nucleic acids are polymers, which means they are built by stringing together a bunch of monomers or single subunits. What are those subunits in the case of nucleic acids? Well, the bases are actually subunits of the subunits. Individual subunits are called what? The whole thing is the nucleic acid. What do you string together to make a nucleic acid? Nucleotides, right. And each individual nucleotide actually has three parts to it, right? Which is, I'm glad you brought that up, because this explains the whole idea that DNA is always negatively charged. So there are four kinds of nucleotides used in DNA, right? But the only reason there are four kinds of nucleotides is because each nucleotide is made up of three things, and those two of those three things are always the same from nucleotide to nucleotide. The three parts of a nucleotide are a pentose sugar, or a 5-carbon sugar, right? In the case of DNA, that sugar is always deoxyribose. In the case of RNA, that sugar is always ribose. So the sugar doesn't change from nucleotide to nucleotide. Attached to that sugar are the other two things, but at different points on that sugar. One of those is a nitrogenous base, and that's why you have different kinds of nucleotides, because there's four choices of nitrogenous bases for DNA, right? Adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. And then what's the second thing, the third overall thing, but the second thing that's hooked to the sugar? A phosphate group. And what do you know about a phosphate group? Well, it's made from a phosphorus atom, but also four oxygen atoms, right? And a couple of those oxygen atoms are charged negatively. So every phosphate has a negative charge to it as a group. And therefore, every single nucleotide has a negative charge. And therefore, any strand of DNA, which is just a string of nucleotides, is negatively charged. It doesn't matter where the DNA came from. That's why we know that if we're working with DNA, its depth, the particles, no matter what size they are or shape, are definitely going to electrophorese toward the positive pole. Okay? Now, the reason this is practically important once your gel sets up and you run this thing is that if you put your gel in backwards, the DNA will just run off the short edge and off the gel, and you'll ruin your trial, right? So you know that the DNA is negatively charged, therefore it's definitely going to go toward the positive pole. Which color is the positive pole? No, black is negative. The red is negative. So you need to have this thing set up. Notice how the box lid is. Negative is if this part where the electrodes are is considered the back, then negative is on the left, right? And correct. And red is on the right. So your DNA is going to go this way in the box, and therefore you need to set your once this thing is totally set up and you can take it out again and rotate it 90 degrees, make sure your wells are on the black end of the box so that the DNA will move through the long part of the gel toward the red end. Okay? So, the whole idea of what we're doing today, this is just one reason why we would use electrophoresis for DNA. This is as a paternity test, right? Remember we talked about the restriction enzymes. Different people have different sequences of DNA. So those palindromes, remember the palindromes? What do you know about the palindromes? That is what makes them a palindrome, and what's important about them as far as today is concerned. Well, why do we care about palindromes when it comes to... What's that? Not the order. That's what I wanted. Yes, the palindromes are the restriction sites, meaning the palindromes are what the tiny little subsequences within the overall DNA molecule that the restriction enzyme recognizes. And if it's not there, it won't cut the DNA at all. if the sequence, the palindrome sequence is there, the restriction site is there, it will cut it there, and then we'll cut it every time it sees that same sequence. So you might have multiple restriction sites within the same DNA, right? However many you have and where they are located is going to determine how many pieces of DNA your one DNA originally gets cut into and how big each fragment is going to be. Okay? Now, you have a sample from the definite father. It's going to have restriction sites in it somewhere. So say this is the... Say this line represents the father's DNA, and let's just say these are where the restriction sites are, the palindromes. So it's going to cut it here, here, and here, and you're going to have a piece like this, like this, like this, and like this, right? Now, other people will have maybe a different number of restriction sites, in which case they'll have a totally different number of fragments. Or even if they have the same number of restriction sites, they'll probably be in different places, like that. So this thing would be cut into pieces this big, right? Well, when you put these two samples of DNA, after you've made many, many copies of them, billions of copies by PCR, and then you put them into an electrophoresis gel, they're going to travel at different speeds because of their sizes. They're all equally negative, but they're going to travel at different speeds based on their size. And what is going to travel the fastest? The smallest piece. They get through the gel easiest. Okay? So, in your electrophoresis gel, I'm just going to do two wells for these two samples. This one's going to have this very small one go very far. This one not quite as far. It's going to make a band there. And then these other two are very similar in size. Okay? Does that make sense? This other one, though, which you're trying to determine whether that person is the father also, I mean, is the father, is going to have a different banding pattern because these sizes are different. This one's tiny, so it's going to go even farther from the well. Right? This one very long, so that would be up there, and then these ones would be intermediate, so somewhere in here. Well, this banding pattern doesn't match up to this one. So that tells you definitely that person is not the father. That's the whole idea behind it. Now, if another sample of DNA had a different number of restriction sites, that would certainly not be the father either, right? Because that would be a different number of bands that would occur. In the gel, this is called a lane. Each well corresponds to what we call a lane, just like a swimming lane in a pool. And then these are bands that occur because different fragments electrophorese at different speeds. When you put your sample in, that sample has already been digested, which is what we say happens when you expose the overall DNA to the restriction enzymes. It gets cut into pieces, that's digestion. And so it's kind of like a race. At the start time, all the pieces of different sizes are at the start line. Then they move at different speeds. The small ones go faster, so they get farther and farther away from the slower ones. That make sense? So what happens if we have two lanes that match up perfectly with their fragments? That does not mean that's the father. That means this could be the father. Okay, now if it doesn't match, that definitely means it's not the father. But let's say we have two pieces of DNA. This is the definite father, this is the alleged father. If they have their restriction sites in exactly the same place, they're going to get cut into exactly the same size pieces, right? And they will have exactly the same pattern in the two lanes. But that doesn't mean the DNA is the same. Remember, the DNA is a sequence of A's, C's, T's, and G's. So they match up here, 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 and here.
But this could be ATCG, this could be GATC. That's a different sequence, right?
They could just happen to match up only at their restriction sites, and the rest of the sequence is different. Therefore, they're totally different people. So when you get a match, all that says is, okay, this we should look further into this person and do a more careful DNA test where you actually look at the sequence. Electrophoresis is just a quick and dirty method, basically, to weed out the people who definitely are not a match. Does that all make sense? All right, well then, the only other thing we're doing besides the actual trial, which you make sure you follow instructions carefully on preparation of your samples, and make sure that you pipette correctly. But anyway, the only other thing we're doing is to prepare our plates. And so you won't see any results for these plates today, because we have to let the bacteria grow for till next week. But make sure you keep your gloves on during all of this as well. After you prepare your plates, though, and label them well, you should have some strips of parafilm. This confuses people all the time. You have strips of parafilm that don't seem like they're possibly long enough to go all the way around the circumference of the plate, but they are. Once you take the paper off, you can start this in place right here and stretch it all the way around. That makes a nice seal. That's what you're going to be doing, okay? But it's just a matter of streaking the plates and leaving them in place. You should probably, after you have all four plates made, put them all in the same orientation with respect to the lid, either all lid up or all lid down, and tape all four of them together, and on the tape put something that identifies you as a group, but also put Hoffman so they know which section we all are. All right, that's it.